To News Radio Pensacola on the FM dial at 92.3 and 95.3. Listen on the AM dial at 1620. Stream us online at newsradio923.com or download the News Radio Pensacola app. You can also listen to podcasts of all of our local shows on demand and get news and traffic alerts. Listen to local talk shows in the morning and afternoon drive, and we're Pensacola's home for Brian Kilmeade. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now. Is someone getting the best, the best, the best, the best of you? Is someone getting the best, the best, the best, the best of you?
Good morning, 810 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and Sam Abel is the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze, and she joins us every time there's a city council meeting the morning after to tell us what happened. Hey, Sam, welcome back to the show.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So we have one thing I definitely want to get to today based on last night, but you and I didn't talk the last time, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about this aquatic center that, you know, the idea is to look into where it might work and how is the city involved in this process?
Well, the process really started in Gulf Breeze at our Tourism Development Board and with our Advisory Park Board, who are hearing from, you know, our parents and our schools. So they made a recommendation to the council that we undertake a feasibility study. Separately, of course, Commissioner Colton Wright and Commissioner Dave Peach at the time were hearing the same request from South Santa Rosa County. And so we have all kind of gotten together, and the county agreed to partner with the city. So the funds that we had anticipated for engaging professionals for our own study are now going to be mingled with the county. It'll be a larger study, including the entire South End. So we're really excited about that. Mayor Terry Fitch met with Commissioner Colton Wright just recently, and he's hitting the ground running. So I expect that there's going to be a lot of conversations about that in the next month or so.
Okay. No, that's great. And you and I, it seems like, I feel like when we talk about an aquatic center or a competition grade swimming pool for anywhere in the Tiger Point Gulf Breeze area, I feel like we're talking about Sasquatch. Like it's the thing we all kind of know we need, but every time we come up with a plan, it always seems like, oh, I thought I saw it over there. No, not that time. You know, that's kind of how I feel about it. You feel like this is really the beginning of we're actually going to get something at the end of this process?
I do. I actually do think that there will end up being a competitive size pool at the end of this process. If, you know, there's certainly challenges with locating a pool inside the city of Gulf Breeze because we're a peninsula, you know, and in low-lying areas such as those, a lot of in Tiger Point, if you were to put a subsurface pool in the ground, which you would not have an Olympic size above ground pool,
right.
Chances are in heavy rain, it's going to pop out like a bathtub. So, you know, that certainly limits the areas where you can have this type of facility. And, it, you know, it's multifaceted. There's the capital cost, which, you know, up front, we are very encouraged by, you know, the drive and charitable giving. So I think that the upfront capital cost will not be as much of a challenge as making sure you have a strong business plan for that ongoing operational cost. And that's really what the study is looking at, is making sure that it's sustainable into the future. Of course, we used to have, you know, the club, which was privately owned, but provided that amenity in the South End. And then when you have economic fluctuations, it really struggled. So, you know, it's really important that we make sure that we have all the partners at the table. But I do think at the end we will have that pool because we all recognize there is such a need.
Very, very good. And by the way, I just know as soon as you said it that there's going to be some guy who's got like a trailer on 5 acres and he hears you say you can't have an Olympic grade above ground pool. He's like, watch me.
I'm going to tell him right now. I'm going to tell him right. The Department of Health is going to have something to say about that.
I love it.
Good luck, my friend.
Oh, man. We're talking to Sam Abel, city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Last night you worked on you right now already charge for parking a boat, like a truck with a trailer for a boat at the ramp, right, at Shoreland Park. That's already been in place for a while, right?
That's right. Our boaters, you know, in this region and just, I mean, I would dare say throughout the state are accustomed to, if you're going to be parking a boat trailer, you know, you're going to be expected to pay something. And so we've been doing that for over 30 years, as have, you know, the communities around us. We provide boat ramp attendants who are there just to make sure that there aren't any issues with getting that, you know, boat in and off the ramp. But primarily, our payment system is by honor box. And so, you know, outside of the peak season, that honor box is there. We also have a QR code, which we've moved to automate the system since COVID. And that has helped, but it only allows us to track that user by zip code. So it's still challenging. Parking in Gulf Breeze at the boat ramp has gotten completely out of control. It is the most popular ramp in South Santa Rosa County. So we have boat trailers. Andrew, I know that you're often at our parks on the weekend, so you've seen this. They are parked all over our ball fields. They are parked on both sides of Shoreline Drive. There has to be an improved management of where to park, and then also alerting our boaters to when the capacity is full.
Yeah.
We are making sure that we're getting a step ahead of when Wayside Park reopens and that boat ramp is active. And so what we really liked about the Flowbird feature, which is we're piggybacking on Pensacola's contract, what we liked about that feature is that it will alert the subscriber to knowing when the capacity at the parking lot is full, and maybe that boater can make a better decision, you know, to go to Wayside Park.
And there, and the funny thing is, there are lots of other alternatives. You know, there are lots of other boat launches in the South End. It's just that one is so overwhelmingly popular, right? Like you say, and you know, plus, like you say, when Wayside opens back up soon, we hope. So basically, I have one follow up I want to get to with you. Hang on for just a second, Sam. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
98 still backed up in Navarre, and it looks like from Heritage Parquay backed up eastbound to the Navarre Beach Causeway. And I-10 mile marker 8 looks like a slowdown at mile marker 8, not an accident necessarily, and moved off to the side, but just real, real slow, and that's backed up to about exit 5. That's Navy Federal exit. Traffic tips, text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Sam Abelstein, manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. So What the city council did was to enter the agreement or to create a framework for an agreement to actually acquire use of the app, or to, what actually happened yesterday?
So last night, the council approved on first reading a revision to our ordinance to create the framework.
Okay.
So the council would not be able to, and you know, piggyback on Pensacola's agreement, which provides for a la carte services. We don't need to use all the services used in downtown Pensacola. But we wouldn't be able to engage that vendor without first having the legal framework for enforcement.
Got it.
So this was first reading last night. Second reading will be on the 17th, Andrew. And on that same agenda, then the council will consider final action of whether to piggyback on Flowbird or not. At this point, they've heard a presentation, discussed it, and we're moving forward one step at a time.
And if that does happen, boat ramp users will only be able to pay on the app and kiosk. What will be the end result if they go forward with that?
Our staff right now, in looking at all various features, are proposing both. So
okay.
the pay station kiosks and using the app. Keep in mind, Andrew, that our council for many years have provided a fee schedule where our residents do not pay for boat ramp parking. The reason for that is because they're paying for their parks through their property taxes.
Right.
But our boat ramps are heavily used by those outside this area. And I mean from Texas, Georgia, Louisiana. It's incredible. We have a lot of people who will stay on the beach and then come to use the city's boat ramp. So that's really what we're talking about, is defraying that type of heavy wear and tear. And so we're recommending using both the app and the kiosk. But the other component of this is making sure to alert the user when the parking lot is full and when you'll need to, you know, maybe reroute, use Wayside Park or one of the other boat ramps in the area.
Got it. And just to clarify, will the change mean that residents will now have to pay, or will that stay the same that they do not have to pay?
Well, the council had not talked about changing that fee at all. And they emphasized that again last night.
Got it.
So we fully expect that residents will continue to not have to pay, But the fee is totally separate and apart than the, you know, the tech that we're talking about using right now for just collecting those fees.
I gotcha. Okay. All right. Very good. And just this is mostly a clarification because somebody's going to hear it wrong. When you say doing what the city of Pensacola is doing, blue signs, not red signs, right? We're not talking, this is blue signs, blue lots. That's what you're talking about using, not red lot, red signs, right?
Pensacola, after utilizing a lot of different technologies, competitively bid for an automated parking management system, mm-hmm. and it utilizes Flowbird for those boat ramps for public parking. So we're in Gulf Breeze. We are only looking at boat ramps at this time.
Okay,
that's
so just
right.
That. Okay,
so all those other things that we're hearing about in the news and so forth, those are urban downtown issues.
Got it.
And we appreciate Pensacola very much for taking all that on. And hey, maybe one day we'll need to ask them for advice on that too.
I'm glad to expose my own ignorance and to learn a little bit more about who handles which parking situation. As long as it has nothing to do with the red signs, then I'm okay. Sam Abel, she is the city manager for the city of Gulf Breeze. Sam, as always, thanks for the time, what you do. I appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us this morning.
Thank you. Plug Lisa Dees, who's over Pensacola Parking. She is fantastic, and we have all the confidence in her. So thanks goes to her for all the hard work that she does. And thank you, Andrew, for always getting the news out to your listeners.
Absolutely. You know, and Lisa's fantastic. 821 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. And, you know, when you think about maintaining your car, right, you got to take it into the shop when? Not when it breaks down. I mean, yes, okay, if it has a problem, but take it in preventatively. Take it in routinely. Get the, you know, all of the various checkups that need to be done. At Bobby Likas, what they like to say is, you know, bring it to us frequently so you don't have to bring it to us catastrophically. Like, bring us for the small stuff so that we can prevent the big stuff. And they work on all kinds of vehicles, whether it's a diesel engine, they work on those, no problem, not everybody does. Whether it's an import, a Porsche, a Mercedes, a BMW, a Genesis, Jaguar, a Lexus, they work on those, no problem. You don't have to take them to the dealership. That is not a requirement. You can get them serviced a lot of different places, including Bobby Likas Auto Service. Online, you can see them at carclinicservice.com, or in person, just bring it on down right here on Davis Highway. 2021, Carfax rated them a top-rated service center, 4.5 average reviews or above. Bobby Likas Auto Service right here on Davis Highway.
Celebrate Easter together with the help of Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. At Costello's, you'll find a variety of lamb, beef tenderloins, and hams. From the best steak cuts to exotic meats, Costello's has it all for a happy Easter. You'll find a great selection of wine specials, cannoli trays, pies, cheesecakes, and so much more. From Boar's Head Deli Meats, free lunches for the kiddos, and that Italian family hospitality. It's only at Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli. A great place to meet up and wine all you want on the west side of Pensacola.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. If you're driven by an adventurous heart, you're in luck, because the redesigned 2023 Subaru Outback shares your spirit. The Outback can take you as far as you want to explore with standard symmetrical all-wheel drive. And Subaru's estimated highway fuel economy for non-turbo 2023 Outback models is up to 32 miles per gallon. And comparing information from competitors' website, the Outback has more ground clearance than Honda CR-V or Toyota RAV4. So you can take on the path less traveled with ease. And when Experian Automotive studied vehicles in operation versus total new registrations, they found that 97% of Outback vehicles sold in the last 10 years are still on the road today, which means you can explore your world with confidence. The 2023 Subaru Outback. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Actual mileage may vary. Clearance comparisons as of June 2022. Experian data for model years 2012 to 2021 as of December 2022.
Hi, this is Earl Ron. I'm the president of New South Window Solutions. What I'd like people to understand about our company is what's unique about us. We manufacture, we install, we guarantee. We go out of our way to make it easy. The most important thing that New South offers is very simple, absolutely true factory direct pricing. From our factory, to our truck, to your driveway. Most other window companies are either resellers, a wholesaler, a contractor, a distributor, a sales organization. We eliminate those levels of marketing, so you're paying true factory direct pricing.
Going on now, save 35% off factory direct windows and doors. Call 1-800-NEW-WINDOWS.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
wherever you are, you can listen to News Radio Pensacola on the radio at 92.3, 95.3, or AM 1620.
Win, lose, no matter. You make good fight and respect. Then nobody bother.
Good morning, 825, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Candy has traffic on the fives. Have we gotten any clearing happening on I-10 yet?
Yeah, not exactly.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring it up.
Oh, yeah, we did. Okay,
hey!
Great. Okay, thank you, screen. Look at you, Scooby-Doo. Okay, yeah, looks like everything is clear now. That's good. I-10 is cleared. And when Chip was in here, he told us that it's just some guy just sitting there, kind of. So I think it was like a rubbernecking situation. 98 looks clear too. Watch for your usual areas of congestion. And that's what we see. That's good. It's brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer that Dave Ramsey and Andrew McKay recommend in Pensacola. Frontier Motors, they're on Beverly Parkway. It's 437-1620. If you have traffic tips, you can text them in News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Yep. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene will be leading a protest in New York today against what she's calling the political persecution of former President Trump. She'll be accompanied by the New York Young Republicans group for this protest that apparently starts here at about 10:30 this morning. NASA taking the wraps off the crew for the Artemis II mission that'll fly around the moon. One of them is Christina Koch, who's a former Girl Scout.
We're thrilled for the representation, and we know that it's going to make a big difference to millions of girls across the country and the world.
And that's Sarah Carlson. She's with the Girl Scouts. When Koch blasts off, it'll be the first time a woman's embarked on a lunar mission. Other astronauts that'll be part of the mission include Canadian astronaut Jeremy Hansen, Navy aviator Victor Glover, and Commander Lee Wiseman. And the University of Connecticut celebrated their NCAA championship win overnight. They got pretty excited, apparently too excited. Police had to be called to the campus when fans were breaking windows and even tipped over a van and destroyed lampposts on campus.
You know, act like you've been there before, UConn. This is your fifth championship. I mean, you know.
It's Connecticut. In my head, they just unbuttoned their sweater at one top. Thing. You know what? I'm
Buffy, pass me the Melba toast.
I'm saying, do you have any gray poupon? No.
Okay. Look, we won another championship. Is my perception of Connecticut wrong? I've never been there. So.
Same, but maybe, I think maybe. You're right.
Yeah.
It's all the howls. Just kidding. I don't know.
Thurston. Nice.
Is that where Bernie Sanders is?
Vermont.
Oh.
Yeah.
Same difference. I don't know.
Whatever. They have big mittens. David Wayne, thanks so much for the update. 827 on News Radio 92.3. Hey, if you're a business owner and you love managing employee benefits, insurance, dental, vision, life, and all that, great. Great. Have fun. Knock yourself out. On the other hand, if you're like, Andrew, we talked about this. Don't mention that on my way into work because it just stresses me. Dude. Or dudette. I don't know. Call Torgerson Causey. This is what they do. They do it great. They helped us 5 or 6 years ago. We've been using them ever since at News Radio and Cat Country. And they manage it. They handle it. They gave us options we didn't have. They answer the questions. They do all the stuff so that you don't have to. And they saved us money, and they gave us choices we didn't have before, so they made things better than who we were using before. So Torgerson Causey, from personal experience, they're fantastic. More than 20 years helping local businesses like yours solve this problem so you don't have to. Give them a call. No obligation for them to look at what you're doing. 433-9996 or check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. Did you see this story about this dude in Texas who, I guess, and I'm not all that familiar with the technology. I kind of vaguely know how it works. Apple AirTags, you know, so you can like track people or whatever.
I did see this story.
He apparently had an Apple AirTag on his truck that got stolen, and so he went looking for the truck. And when he found the truck, he called the police. But before the police could get there, he confronted the guy and apparently in the process shot and killed him. So I want to know more specifics about what happened, but if that's all I know, that's called murder.
You can't
murder somebody for stealing your truck, as we've talked about so many times with the sheriff and with the cops. Is, you know, the only time you are allowed to use deadly force is against a person who you feel threatens your life or limb or that of somebody else that is nearby to you. You cannot run up on somebody who's stolen your truck and say, give me my truck back, and point a gun at them and then kill them if they don't give you the truck back, because that's murder. You don't get, even if it's your truck, you can't kill people over property. You can only kill people in self-defense if they are threatening you or somebody else. So, again, now there's circumstances where you might see that it could have turned out to be self-defense if the other guy used deadly force back. But even there, you got to ask questions like, was he provoked? Did he instigate the violence or something like that? So I want to know more. But or just wait for the cops. You know, that's a lot easier way to do this. Oh, man. David Wayne, what do you have coming up, sir?
A man was arrested for a stabbing that happened on Sunday. We'll have more right after this update from Fox.
Fox News, I'm Therese Crowley. NYPD choppers hover over Manhattan with barricades all over the city as Donald Trump plans to emerge from Trump Tower at 1 p.m. for his motorcade to arraignment on criminal charges in Lower Manhattan. Trump attorneys plan to file several motions to dismiss, including the judge citing evidence of judge shipping.
I don't think it's coincidental that he was a judge on the Trump Organization case and the Bannon case and now this case. And they, in the past, have acknowledged the practice of judge shopping.
Former Trump lawyer David Schoen on the Ingram angle. The judge, Juan Marchand, denied a motion from several media outlets to allow live cameras. Three Tennessee State Democrat lawmakers who joined protesters in storming the state capitol in a protest against guns have been stripped of their committee assignments and could be expelled. The storming organized by Democrats after the Nashville school shooting. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31, News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Cloudy skies right now. It's 74 in Pensacola. Governor Ron DeSantis has signed HB 543. That's the permitless carry law, which would eliminate the requirement for Floridians to get a permit to carry a concealed weapon.
Floridians just really want fewer guns and fewer shootings, more safety. And this bill just does not deliver on any of those things.
But supporters say that obtaining that permit creates a barrier for Americans' right to bear arms under the Second Amendment. Opponents like House Democrat leader Fentrese Driscoll say the legislation could put Floridians at an increased risk of violence. A Pensacola man now charged for a weekend stabbing. 43-year-old Patrick Henderson was arrested yesterday and charged with attempted homicide. The sheriff's office says Henderson stabbed a woman at a home on North W Street after an argument. That woman was able to leave the home, call for help from a nearby gas station. Deputies say that Henderson fled the scene. They arrested him Monday morning at Biggs Lane and Palafox Street. He's being held with no bond at the Escambia County Jail. A Crestview man that accidentally shot himself during a burglary earlier this year, now facing a 20-year prison sentence. 28-year-old Justin McCall was convicted last month. He's now been sentenced to 2 decades in state prison. Prosecutors say McCall burgled several vehicles in Crestview, then stole a firearm during one of those, and they say he accidentally shot himself in the leg while holding that stolen firearm in the middle of another vehicle burglary. Trump supporters lining the streets in Southern Boulevard in West Palm Beach before the former president arrives back home tonight. He'll be delivering remarks at Mar-a-Lago after his arraignment in New York this afternoon. John Fisher with the Florida Firefighters and Police for Trump says it's a political witch hunt, says it'll only work in the former president's favor.
One more sham, one more attack on our president, and every time he gets attacked, his numbers go up.
There's been a steady stream of Trump supporters near Mar-a-Lago since news of the indictment came out. Trump, of course, accused of sending hush money payments to adult film star Stormy Daniels. Well, a lot of improvements being made lately in Century. Now, the town's received grant funding for renovations to the Carver Community Center and the Agricultural Center as well.
We're working on those right now. I think we're still waiting to hear back from the architects and the designs, and then it will be going to a public workshop that we will be having with the community. We don't have that date yet because we haven't gotten the designs back from the architect.
And that's Century Mayor Ben Boutwell. He talked with Channel 3. He says grant funding's also been received to renovate some sewer lift stations in Century. They're about to start on phase one of that project. And the community's also applied for millions of dollars in grant funding to potentially renovate the old Century High School gym and fix a couple of bridges.
in the community as well. And it is 8:34. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with Candy.
All right. Looks like I-10 eastbound is clear now. Not showing any problems. I-10 eastbound, I-110 is clear as well. Shemuckla Highway and Garden View Road in Milton says unknown roadblock. So a vehicle crash this morning there. And certainly if you know or have a traffic tip, text it in if you would, 437-1620. This is brought to you by Staples Stores, and they provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents, of course. Explore more at your local Staples Store. And News Radio 92.3, we're informative, local, dependable.
It is going to be a warm and humid day today. Temperatures warming near 80 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 70. Warm, humid weather continues as you go into Wednesday, high near 81. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Small chance of rain builds in for your Thursday. 20% chance of showers overall. High near 81 degrees. Low Thursday night near 65. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Cloudy and 75 in Pensacola. 73 in Gulf Breeze, 74 in Milton. Your next news at 9, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Remember when washing machines were made in America, were solidly built, and actually got your clothes clean? They aren't a thing of the past. They are Speed Queen, and they are available at Tops Appliance. Speed Queen washer and dryers combine durability and technology into the best washers and dryers in the world. Speed Queen will change the way you think about washing machines. They're built to last longer and deliver exceptional wash results. Unlike many other washers and dryers with plastic parts, Speed Queen uses commercial-grade steel and porcelain components designed to give you at least 25 years of reliable, trouble-free operation. That's why they come with lifetime warranties, the best warranties in the business. See store for warranty details. Speed Queen washers and dryers are built to work and built to last. If you want durability, innovation, and perfectly done laundry the first time, then you want Speed Queen. See these great Speed Queen washers and dryers for yourself at Tops Appliance on Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
Are you ready to start saving money on your energy bill? Join Compass Solar Energy this Thursday at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Compass Solar has been locally owned and operated here in the Pensacola area for over 20 years, and they are Northwest Florida's premier solar company. Call in with your questions as we all navigate through the rising cost of energy. That's this Thursday at 10:30 with Compass Solar Energy and the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
This is a test of the emergency broadcast system. This is only a test.
Your money now. Not a big change at the opening bell this morning. The Dow up 1747 at 33,618.62. The S&P 500 up 526 at 41,29.77. The NASDAQ up 1165 at 12,201.11. The U.S. 10-year bond rate at 3.475% this morning. Gold prices are up just a bit at $2,430. Silver prices at $24.20. The Biden administration planning to open up federal funding for communities dependent on fossil fuels to help transition to a new clean energy economy. That plan will be unveiled today. It's designed to use tax credits and grants to build wind farms, solar fields, and fuel cell factories to replace jobs lost in the traditional energy sector. Your tax refund might be a little bit smaller this year. The latest IRS data showing the amount refunded to taxpayers so far at $172 billion, more than $16 billion less than last year. That's an average refund of just under $3,000, which is also about $360 per person less than last year. Tesla ordered to pay an African-American former employee $3.2 million in damages as a result of discrimination that he says he suffered working for the electric car maker back in 2015. It's 8:39. Your next news at 9. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
News Radio Pensacola is your source for informative, local, dependable news and talk. Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay gets you a breakdown of the local issues from the county commission meetings to new developments. Pep Talk gets you local expert opinions on everything from gardens to HVAC. Brian Kilmeade interviews the national newsmakers. Dave Ramsey helps you become debt-free. Pensacola Right Now infotains on your drive home. Local and Fox News at the top and bottom of every hour. And traffic on the fives during your drive time. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Everybody was kung fu fighting.
I admire your deductive processes.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna have to go ahead and sort of disagree with you there.
Oh, idiot.
Food fight!
Gentlemen, you can't fight in here. This is the war room.
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore. Goodbye.
You may have heard that the occasional glass of wine with dinner could be good for your health, but new research from the University of Victoria found that there's probably not any real benefit to drinking alcohol, at least health-wise. They compiled the results of over 100 studies and found that people who drank small amounts did not have a lower mortality risk than non-drinkers.
No! No marginal benefit to your health to avoid all causes of death based on moderate consumption of alcohol. But then, of course, the follow-up on NBC yesterday morning was...
All we got to do is just wait a minute, and then there'll be another study coming out saying, hey, yeah, one glass of red wine is good for your heart.
Hey, maybe by this weekend there will be.
You're right.
Yeah,
just
okay.
Like eggs.
So, yeah, so here's the thing about this. I did go look at the study, and the study is it's called a meta-study. It means that they looked at all the other studies, okay? And basically what they decided was that if you look at all the other studies, there is no evidence that moderate consumption of alcohol, like one or two a day, is going to benefit you in any way. It also doesn't hurt you, okay? So that's actually good news, you know? Hey, you're free to moderately consume. You know, don't drink a lot. Don't drink a lot, especially if you're a woman. These things can be very, very bad for you. But, you know, moderate consumption, and there's lots of reasons why the study showed this, as opposed to several prior studies, the meta study, they looked at the other studies that seemed to indicate some mild benefit and said, well, here's what's wrong with your methodology. And they were right. The methodology was flawed in the way that they explained. So my question for you is not specifically on that. My question is broadly, when you hear a health study come out and say something like drinking a glass of red wine is good for you, which we now know that's not actually true. It's not bad for you either. Okay. But the question is, when these studies come out, and I sympathize strongly with the anchor where she's like, well, just give it a week. There'll be another study. Do you listen to the studies? Do you change your behavior? In fact, is there any behavior you've ever changed on the basis of the fact that there was some, you know, health study that came out that said stop doing that or start doing this? 437-1620, 437-1620. I'll tell you my answer in a second. Candy, are you do you follow the science as it comes out and then adapt your behavior to it?
Sure.
Any particular example that stands out one way or the other?
I don't want anybody writing and yelling at me, but like the mask stuff. I
okay,
could see
sure,
where,
sure.
You know, and if
I
have a cough, I will wear one.
Which is, you know, preventative from you transmitting to somebody else, or at least it cuts down on
the chances. I'm trying to be polite, but there was like a year ago where people are like, you're the problem. And it's like, I'm going through menopause. You want to go out in the parking lot right now and kick my butt, buddy?
We can escalate this real
That's
quick
right.
if you want to.
Dana Cervantes will snap your neck.
I'll tell you my answer to this, my own personal answer to this. I don't think I can defend this answer, like as a rational person who tries to, but I will tell you my answer, which is this. The way I look at health studies is when the health study tells me that what I'm doing is good, I'm happy. I celebrate it. When the health study tells me that what I'm doing I shouldn't do, I ignore it. Like
the duality of man. Yeah, I'm with you.
Basically, me too. The way I look at these health studies is essentially, you know, it's the worst possible way to look at them. Like, it's the most irrational and self-justifying way, which is kind of like how most people read the Bible. You know, the Bible tells you to do what you want to do. Awesome, the Bible says. The Bible tells you you shouldn't do what you're doing. You know, who can trust that thing?
Let me try this other church. Yeah.
Right.
Just kidding.
And I think in my mind, I probably generalize it as saying that, well, science changes a lot. And that's true. You know, the line I've used before is that I think in 30 years, we're going to find out that, like, you know, cholesterol prevents cancer and like bran is the silent killer. I mean, you know, because that's kind of how things reverse themselves all the time.
See, that's why I'm so healthy. Also, nobody would ever look at me and go, wow, you must be part of a health study ever in my life. Yeah.
But no, I definitely, I definitely ignore. I'll give you an example: is the sleep deprivation ones. Like rationally, do I think that not getting enough sleep is harming me? Yes. Am I changing my behavior? Oh no, because I do a morning show. It's just not feasible. What am I going to do? Go to bed at 8 o'clock at night?
Do you nap at all during the day?
I take a couple naps. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Always, yeah. But you know, and you know, you sleep real good when you're exhausted all the time. I mean, it's fine. Do I believe that's affecting me long term? I mean, rationally, it has to, but I'm just hoping to be the exception, basically. So I know I'm irrational about it, but that's the way I hear them. 437-1620. Somebody here says the food pyramid is one that changed their behavior. That's interesting. Okay, somebody here says, yeah, studies are good if they confirm my desires or my practices. Studies are clearly flawed if they violate them. You know, when the study comes out that says more bacon is going to make you live longer, that's the study I'll listen to.
Me too.
And for now, the study that says you really ought to cut down on all that red and fatty meat. And like, my grandmother, I mean, not my grandmother, but, you know, this woman knew a guy who passed out at Baskin's 31 Flavors last night whose grandmother lived to be 110 years old, drinking, you know, whiskey and smoking cigars and eating bacon all the time. That's the health advice I'm following, because why? Well, science, one example that I don't even know. Somebody here says, I drink Dr. Pepper. It must be good for me. The first word in the name is doctor. No, that's good science. That's I like to see that. A lot of good public school investment paid off with that reasoning.
I can't tell if they're making fun of me or not. But no. Hey, always, I hear you, 205.
Always take it personally.
No,
8:45 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives.
Also, get over yourself. You're carbonated prune juice. You're not a real doctor.
All right. And no real doctor would taste that nasty. Go ahead.
You don't like Dr. Pepper?
Hate it. Nasty stuff. Terrible.
Oh. You
go
better
on.
Have Reese on speed dial. I said this earlier off the air.
Go on.
Man. Okay. It looks like everything's running smoothly. Not showing any problems. 90 is accident free. Not showing any problems on I-10, I-110. 98, fine. Not showing any problem in the General Chappie James Bridge either. That is good to go. This is brought to you by ECUA. They ensure recyclable materials are processed correctly. And you can keep the recycling program on track. Go to livegreenecua.com or download the Recycle Coach app today. Traffic tips, text 437-1620. News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You know, if you're thinking about buying a home, thinking about selling a home, you need a good realtor, right? And when the market's hot, you might feel like maybe if I'm selling, I don't need one. Even when the market was hot, Christina Leavenworth could have gotten you more money, significantly more money, and, you know, helped you get that home sold quicker. Now that the market is not as hot, she's essential, right? Like 200 homes that she helped sell last year, and that's buying, and also that's selling, and they also buy homes. And if you think about it, buying a home with a qualified realtor is going to really help you, because she's going to know what the other offers are going to be. She's seen it before. She comes into this as an expert. And for me, like, the reason I would use Christina if I were selling my home is because I know that the way she treats every single house is like it's hers. And I don't know how she does it. I frankly couldn't do it. Okay. But you don't want me for the realtor. You want her for your realtor. Every home, it's like her own home. And you'll feel like you're her only client when you know several other people are using her, but that's just kind of the way it works. I don't know how she does it, but it is amazing. It's what I hear from everybody. Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, 723-9158. 723-9158.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. This week, the Reunion Band, making their final Bands on the Beach appearance ahead of their retirement on June 1st. Don't miss the Reunion Band playing all your favorite hits one more time at Bands on the Beach.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Eggawahoosa, the biggest egg hunt on the Gulf Coast, is Saturday morning at Community Maritime Park. It's a free event for your kids, walkers through fifth grade. See PensacolaChurch.org for more. Trinity Presbyterian Church on Bayou's Jelly Bean 5K is Saturday morning at the church, benefiting church projects. Register at TrinityPcola.com. Submit your event at NewsRadio923.com.
Listen to Fox News personality Brian Kilmeade interview the latest newsmakers and cover the biggest national stories. Weekdays 11 to 1 on News Radio 92.3.
Adaptation, improvisation. But your weakness is not your technique.
Members, this memorial asked Congress and the President to take sodas off the SNAP program. Sodas are not nutritious, number one. Number two, by 2035, over 50% of the Florida population will be obese. That will have a cost to our society of almost $65 billion, almost half of our budget. They also have a lot of comorbidities with obesity, including hypertension and diabetes.
There you go. So you have Dr. Masullo, Ralph Masullo, in the Florida House saying, or maybe don't, with the SNAP benefits, don't use SNAP to fund soda, to fund sugary carbonated beverages, because they're not nutritious, they're making us fat, and if you're spending $78 billion a year on SNAP at the federal level, and $8 billion of that, about 11%, is going just to this, it's the number one thing that gets bought with SNAP by dollar amount. Maybe it'd be better off if people receiving SNAP benefits were using that money to buy things that were actually nutritious, like, you know, milk or meat or vegetables or nuts or whatever, but just not soda. So this was the conversation they were having, a very rancorous conversation, and it got a little bit worse in a way because at one point, Randy Fine, one of the bill sponsors, says, hey, we've been listening to Democrat objections to this bill, and we think we've got a change you'll like.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the previous committee where this bill was heard, the members in the back rows, the minority party, made a good point, which is, why are you targeting soda but not, for example, Kool-Aid, which has the exact same lack of nutrition as you would find in soda? So this is an amendment that we put together based on the feedback we received from Democrats in that committee.
And what would the feedback be? Well, let's go ahead and add Kool-Aid to the list. Let's stop them from being able to buy Kool-Aid, which I don't think is what they had in mind. I don't think they were thinking you should add Kool-Aid to the list, but he says, look, that's a fair objection. Why wouldn't we add that as well?
The premise of the program is it's to help people that are starving. They cannot get adequate nutrition without this program. They literally, their families do not have enough money to feed their children. That is the reason for the program. It's not to be nice. It's not to give people some extra cash. It is literally to keep, supposedly to keep people from starving. When the largest thing people are spending that money on is something that doesn't keep you from starving, it undermines the purpose of the program, and it allows folks who are skeptical of these things to make that argument. Well, clearly it's not being used to keep people from starving, so maybe we shouldn't do it at all. And so when we say the products that are purchased should be those that are going to actually help keep people from starving and provide them with nutrition, what we actually do is we strengthen the underlying argument for the program.
So obviously some people hearing this news about that SNAP benefits go $8 billion a year to help fund people buying soda, it's infuriating. And that makes them want to get rid of the program entirely because it gets abused. And what he's saying is, you know what, let's cut that out. Let's do better with the money. Let's buy healthier things. And maybe let's avoid and take away that objection that some people are definitely going to have to it. But nevertheless, Rep. Angela Nixon, she was not satisfied by any of this. And her argument has been food deserts are real and you're not solving that problem. Food desert is where you have the inability to get access to good quality produce. Grocery stores don't build in ghetto areas. You know, that's kind of the problem. Look, if you know how Escambia County is laid out, District 3, where I live, which is more poor, more black, it's the, you know, Democrat district created on purpose. There's also very few grocery stores. They're not in District 3. You know, you got to go to other districts to get them because, I mean, it's like a food desert. You have convenience stores and that's pretty much it, or fast food, which is not a great alternative. So here's what she says.
Food food deserts are not naturally occurring. If there wasn't such a strong push to get rid of things like diversity, equity, and inclusion in critical race theory classes or critical theory classes in general, maybe folks would learn again that they are not naturally occurring, rather than, according to Nina Sevilla of Natural Resources Defense Council, they are the result of systemic racism and oppression in the form of zoning codes, lending practices, and other discriminatory policies rooted in white supremacy.
So now food deserts, we're not allowed to call them that, even though I agree with her that people ought to be more aware of why they exist. It's not purely a matter of refusal to invest. There are other factors as well.
Using the term desert implies that the lack of healthy and affordable food is somehow naturally occurring and obscures that it is the direct result of racially discriminatory policies and a systematic disinvestment in these communities.
So again, what I kind of recommended before, although I don't think it's likely to happen, is let's take the $8 billion that gets spent on soda and use that somehow or other to incentivize or subsidize the investment in these areas with grocery stores. Now, that might not make much of a dent, $8 billion across the whole country into food desert areas, but I mean, that would make more sense to me.
It's clear the sponsors have no idea what a food desert is. They don't know what it feels like to live in one, and honestly, they probably do not care. This is clear governmental overreach, an attempt to control folks and not honestly help decrease health disparities in low-income communities.
And I thought it was a nice moment later on in the conversation when somebody got up and said, you know, what you might not know about Reps Fine and Masullo is that they do food share, farm share programs, and they help do all kinds of programs to help with the poor. So this kind of ad hominem attack that she's got where they don't understand food deserts or care about them is absurd. And remember, earlier we talked about this. The argument is if you can take the, you know, $8 billion, 11% of SNAP benefits that go right now to convenience stores, mostly in these areas. If you can take, although not always, I mean, you know, you see SNAP people purchasing with that kind of stuff at the grocery stores too. And there are some, okay, you know, grocery outlet is in District 3, Brent and Palafox. Anyway, the point is, if you can take the money away from funding soda and put it into healthier things, maybe you start to chisel away at the profit margin that makes it economically advantageous to put a convenience store in a poor area, and you maybe start to give an incentive to, you know, maybe a smaller grocery store or even a chain store like, again, a Grocery Advantage or Winn-Dixie or something like that to go into those areas. Maybe not, but that's kind of one of the theories that they were offering. So they did go ahead and advance this. I think they're probably going to vote it through and send it to Congress, but of course Congress is going to have to consider it, and Congress has shown no real appetite to do this in the past. They have debated this issue for years. And in fact, if you go back to the original debate about SNAP in Congress, the House voted for it without soda. The Senate voted for it with soda, their reasoning being, well, nobody would really use it for that. Okay. But here we are today where that's just not true. 856 on News Radio 92.3. Candy's got traffic on the fives for you.
When it's time to call a plumber, call the Best of the Bay winner. It's Barbary Plumbing at 477-8782. And the good news is we're not showing slowdowns or delays at this time. Watching Shemekla Highway, Woodbine Road, and Berry Hill Road. No slowdowns on Guernsey or Spencerfield. 437-1620 if you have traffic tips. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. 857, what else do we have going on? You may have heard, we've been talking about this all day, that the governor signed the permitless carry bill. I just want to make sure that you're alerted to this. And David has been doing a great job in the newsroom mentioning this all morning. This is not in the law yet. So if you tomorrow, without a concealed carry permit, you go concealed carry and a police officer stops you and finds out that you have a gun and you do not have a permit, that's illegal. That is a violation. July 1st. July 1st is when you can legally carry without a permit. And again, even when that happens, you have to be somebody who would be eligible to have it to begin with. So 21, no felony, right? And you can still only carry it to places where it is lawful to carry it. You cannot take it into, for example, the, you know, you can't carry it into a school. You can't carry it on board NAS Pensacola. You can't take it into a court. You cannot take it into City Hall when the legislature is in session, when City Council is meeting. So there's all kinds of restrictions on when you can and cannot carry a weapon. And you better know them if you're going to do it. Okay, you better know them if you're going to do it. You got to know the law, which is, by the way, can been the argument in favor of the permit because then you go through at least some training, both legally and how to operate a gun safely. I just don't think that it really accomplishes a lot, and I prefer the constitutional rights to be based on not needing government permission or cost to acquire them. Cost has been one of the barriers for poor people who don't have the ability to pay the extra money or go through the process of getting the training. But anyway, that is the law starting July 1st. 858 News Radio 92.3, time for
Future News.
Future news, and we tell you what's going to happen before it happens. All right, permitless carry is the law, at least as of this summer. When does open carry happen in Florida? This year, soon, special session, next year? I see a special session. I can see that happen. He's called him for all kinds of other things. Will it be a big circus in New York today?
Oh, yeah.
I kind of want to say it won't be. I kind of want to say it's all going to be orderly and everything's going to be fine, and maybe that's wishful thinking. I hope so. 6-week abortion is under discussion right now with some exemptions up to 15 weeks. Will that become the law in Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much a done deal. All right, that's it for us. Thanks so much for listening. Pep Talk is next. We'll see you tomorrow.